how I thank the Lord for young David, and it's his birthday today as we worship the Lord here, this guy. As he and the team are leading us in worship, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. As we pray to this one with a wonderful, powerful name, by his grace, he returned Hervé to us, and Alphonse and Sarah and their two little ones in what Sarah described as the most terrifying 3 days of her life. We thank God. Amen. We thank God today. I want to consider with you from the Word of God today before our communion time. I want to consider today blessing others and then being blessed in return. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, the writer of the Proverbs says this: "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself or herself be watered." What a great truth. Sandy and I, my beautiful wife, who will be honored today by the Women's Fellowship and as her husband, who fell in love with her the very first day I met her, I am very grateful for her and for that honor on her. But Sandy and I were blessed a few weeks ago to be invited by our dear sister Pam Clements and the deaconesses to join them for a luncheon. And they asked if I would share about prayer and the ministry of compassion, how prayer really works in that ministry of compassion. And I was honored to do that. But I said to them when we first got there, you should be teaching me. You should be teaching me. And I want to thank them, as I said then also, for your ministry of love to the deaconesses. You reflect Jesus to others in their time of need, in their time of loss, their time of pain and suffering and fear. God is there in you, our deaconesses. God is with them and with you in the real world, the real love, amen? And so I shared with them from my own experience and from God's word that for me, praying in the midst of showing compassion, it's all about a mindset. It's all about a way of thinking and trusting God. The first thing for me that I have found in my own life and ministry is as you pray for others to experience God, don't be surprised when you find God yourself. That's always been one of the most amazing things for me, is when you're trying to bless others and encourage them to have a God moment and to experience God, I find God myself. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm always impacted by this truth. In the early church, and their fellowship was amazing. It says in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 42, "And they," this fellowship, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, even as they prayed for one another, heard God's word, had fellowship, and loved one another." They experienced what? They experienced awe. They experienced reverence in the midst of that. As they cared about each other, they found God in the midst of it. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the early church learned that as they blessed each other and blessed their community, they experienced God. They found God in that way. And that's been my experience in the Lord and in ministry also. Just 10 days ago or so, I had a dear friend here in New York who said to me, Pastor Dave, I've got a friend who's very confused about works and grace and trying to work his way to God. He thinks he needs to earn his own forgiveness from God. And it's really causing him tremendous stress. And he said, would you meet with us and have lunch with us? And would you then share with him, because I've shared with him the grace of God, but would you also come and share with him your testimony and what you understand? And I said, of course I will. And so we met just across the street here for lunch and got to know this man. What a wonderful man. And he shared, he said, yeah, he said, Pastor, he said, I just feel like I have to earn my salvation. I think I got to be good enough and to earn God's love, his forgiveness. And he said, I just can't rest with this. And I said, well, you know, the gospel is all about grace, right? We just prayed, sang about that here, right? It's all about grace. It's not what you and I can do to earn God's love or his forgiveness. It's to embrace Christ by faith, who has loved us enough to do everything we need for forgiveness by dying on the cross for our sins. And I said, he died for your sins on the cross. He did everything. It's all grace. And then by faith you receive him. You trust him. And then the good works will not be trying to earn your salvation. The good works will be a thanksgiving to God for your salvation. He said, Pastor, I never understood that. And he hugged me and I prayed over him. And my other friend who's a believer, we prayed over him. And he had this smile on his face and he hugged us and he said, from now on, I'm going to live in the grace. I'm going to live in the grace. And the amazing joy when he knew that Jesus had done it all by his grace. And so he was blessed by the two of us loving him, sharing with him, praying over him. But I left that luncheon experiencing God, big time, experiencing God. Later that day, I went across the street to the grocery store to get a thing of a half and half because I try to be healthy when I have my coffee. And as I always do, I pray over there because, you know, if you've been to that, there's like 8 or 9 cashier spots over there. And over the years, I've shared the gospel with probably 3 dozen of the cashiers as time goes on. And so they know me now, you know. And but I went in that day and I realized there was a young lady. And you know, you have to stand in line and you don't know which cashier you're going to get called to. But I noticed the one I got called to, I didn't recognize this young lady. And so I said, and I prayed, of course, when I was getting my half and half, because you do that, right? And I said to her, oh, I don't think I've ever met you before. I'm Dave. And there are people everywhere, of course. And I said, if you look out the window, I pastor the church just across the street, Calvary Baptist Church, and we would be honored to have you come anytime. Love to have you come. Love to meet you. And I said to her, you know, the gospel is all about grace. It changed my life. And I took out some of my literature that I carry about Amazing Grace, about John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace. I shared with her that this is about the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader. He was vicious. And then Christ got a hold of his life, changed his life. And he became part of the emancipation of slavery in Britain. And he wrote Amazing Grace. And would you like this? And she said, yes, I'd like that. She said, God sent you today. She said, I need grace today. Amen? I need grace today. And I remember walking out of the store just like knowing God. Amen? The divine appointment. Glory to God. So, when God uses you to pray over and bless others, don't be surprised when you find God yourself. I learned this in the greatest lesson I've ever had in this area when I was in Canada pastoring my first church. And we have some of our friends here. We have friends here from Canada today. And Tim, the husband of this wonderful family, is running the marathon today. So they're hanging out with us for a few days. Sue and Alistair here. But my first church in Canada was in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. And we had a little girl named Andrea. She was 8 years old, and she had cancer, and the prognosis was terrible. And I met her mom in the hospital one day, and we were praying together, and her mom was crying, weeping, praying for her, praying for her little girl. And then we went in together to see little Andrea, you know, and we were hugging her gently and, you know, trying to encourage her, talking with her and praying over her. And in the midst of that, as we were trying to have God reveal himself to her and encourage her and bless her, she looked up at her mom and she said, it's okay, Mom, it's okay. God never tests us beyond our strength. But always with the test will give us a way of escape that we can stand up under it. This little girl. And now I had tears in my eyes. And I wanted her and her mom to have a little more time together. And so I was getting ready to walk out. And as I walked away, she said, it's okay, Pastor Dave. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's okay, Pastor Dave. I prayed for her to experience God, and I found God. A few years ago, Andrea was in this worship service, all grown up, amazing young lady, full of faith, 2 master's degrees, serving God in the professional world and being a witness for him. Sandy and I hugged her, and I thought, how awesome is this place? God is in this place, you know. When I think of Andre, I think of Psalm 27 sometimes, and when we think about her mindset, you might say, a little 8-year-old girl ministering the blessing to us, me and her mom. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, Lord, your face will I seek. 8 years old, Lord, your face will I seek. Verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. As you pray for others and love others, don't be surprised when you find God yourself. Amen. And then trust the power of prayer. Trust it. Amen. Trust the power of prayer. God is the mighty one. His name is mighty. Amen. A number of months ago, 12 precious young boys in Thailand and their soccer coach were trapped in a mine way back in the mine, a mile or two back, and the floodwaters were rising, and brave Thai first responders were trying to get to them and save them, but it was, you might say, the prognosis was really bad. And it looked for sure like all these precious boys and their coach were going to drown in this mine. And later, when by God's grace they were rescued, and one of the rescuers lost their life trying to save them. One of the young men, teenage boys, was a strong believer in Jesus Christ, is a strong believer in Jesus Christ. And later they were asking him about what did he do in that mine as he waited perhaps to die. And he said, I prayed. He said, by the 10th night, we were losing patience and hope and physical energy and courage. We could not do anything to help. The only thing I could do was pray. And I prayed, Lord, I'm only a boy. And you are Almighty God. You are holy and you are powerful. And right now I can't do anything. May you protect us. Come to help all 13 of us. And then I finished my prayer, thanking God for everything that happened to myself and my friends. Thanks to everyone who prayed for us. Thanks to those who helped us. And the last thank you I say to the Lord, thank you, God. God bless, he said. Trust the power. Reminded me of another individual who was trapped in an enclosed area and was facing certain death, and that was Jonah. You remember? The belly of the beast. No hope. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, from the belly of the beast. He said, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish. The Lord speaks many languages. And it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. You know, when you're the creator, you speak a lot of languages. Amen? Hervé, our dear brother's here today, and Marissa, his beautiful, wonderful wife right here. Alphonse and Sarah just got back from London late last night, and I told them to rest, and then we want to hear the whole story of God's grace. We rejoice that they have been released from the belly of the beast. Amen? In Pakistan. Sarah said it was the most terrifying 3 days of my life, with her precious little babies and her husband. As we prayed and God heard and broke through for them, Alphonse sent us a text. He said, "Team, this is Pastor Alphonse. We are so grateful for your prayers. We have escaped numerous attacks by a margin of 10 minutes to a couple of hours. And by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are alive and well. We are on a plane that is taking us from Lahore to Qatar and from there to London. May the Lord protect our Christian brothers and sisters in Pakistan who endure such persecution on a daily basis. I have so many wonderful stories to share with you all. For now, let me pause and thank the Lord for his love and his mercy." Trust the power of prayer. Amen. We pray to the mighty one. My wife Sandy and I, our very favorite verse is Psalm 34 that we claimed when we got married. And I thought of this verse as I thought about our precious team in Pakistan as we lifted our prayers that God would be with them and that we would experience God with them in this midst. Chapter 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Amen. Back there, the little one. "My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear it and rejoice." Then this was our verse together, Sandy and I. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." This is what our team was doing in Pakistan. "I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and revere him and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman, the Pakistani team that takes refuge in him." Glory to God. So when you pray for others and love others and bless others, don't be surprised when you find God. And never, ever underestimate the power of prayer. Amen. And a final word in this devotional time before communion. When you pray for others, always utilize God's resources. Always let God's word, the truth of God's word, be the perfect partner with your prayers. Amen? Let that word be the perfect partner with your prayers. Let his truth guide you. I love how in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God as we stay strong in him, the last two pieces of the armor are the word of God and prayer. Together. Just like the early church, they were listening to the apostles' teaching, amen, and they were praying. The leaders would say in the early church, "We will give ourselves to what? The word of God and prayer." What a partnership. I've been to India a number of times ministering the word there. And one time I was there with our wonderful executive pastor, Michael Luciano. Another time, Sandy and I ministered in India together. And on one occasion when I was there preaching in different locations, they asked me if I would share the gospel with 30 precious 10th graders who were all Hindu children, 30 precious teenagers, grade 10. And of course, I said, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then I said to God, what do I do now? How do I identify with and relate to 30 precious 10th graders who all are Hindu children? And I cried out to God. As I prayed for them, I cried out to God, and he gave me Psalm 119. As I prayed, right, amen? And I needed his word as I prayed for them because I needed direction. So in Psalm 119, verse 145, I said, with my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn, I cry for help, I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord, according to your justice. Give me life. So I prayed. Help. And you know where the Lord led me in his word to begin to talk to these precious children? I said, God loves you. He loves you by name. God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has put eternity in your hearts that you might seek him, that you might find him. When you seek him with all your heart, God gave me Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. And then I began to share God's love with them, the gospel of Jesus, that he loves each one of them by name, that they're all made in the image of God and precious to God, and that Jesus offered his life for them to forgive their sins, like he offers to forgive all of our sins and to reconcile them to God and to allow them to know him personally and be a witness for him in this dark world. And you could hear a pin drop in that 10th grade class. You could hear a pin drop. So quiet. And I left that after praying over them, wanting them to experience the grace of God. And I left there finding God myself. Amen. Whatever you are struggling with right now, we talked about this last week, whatever anxiety is overwhelming you, as you are encouraged by God to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Whatever it is, you look right now for who you can bless. Amen? Who you can pray for. Who you can love. And you will find God in that. Amen? Let me begin to close. And those of you that are with me for 20 years know when I begin to close, you never know when I'm going to close, right? But I got a text from our dear sister Pam Clements just, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago maybe? Our dear sister Pam, and who leads the deaconesses. And she and a couple of the deaconesses were going to go and visit a dear brother in Christ here at church. His name is Michael. They were going to go and visit one of these compassion visits. And Michael is blind, and recently he has been bedridden more and more. And they said that Michael had been asking for me, and could I come and join Pam and a deaconess or two and go and love on Mike a little bit and encourage Mike a little bit? And I said, of course, I'll come. I'll come right away. And so we met. I met Pam at Michael's building downtown, and we went up to his little apartment, and we were greeted by his home care attendant. And we talked with Michael, and we hugged him, and we had fellowship with him, and we let him share with us his heart, how he's doing, his prayer requests, his needs, his fears. And then we talked with him about the new world that's coming. That's for sure. And I began to read to him from Revelation chapter 21 as we joined our prayers and the Word of God in this amazing partnership, amen? And in chapter 1 of Revelation, I began to read and I read for Michael, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And then Michael said, because he knows the passage, of course, then he said, "And the sea was no more, Pastor." I said, "That's right." "And I saw the holy city," Michael said, "the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men and women, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" And Michael said, "And no more blindness," right, Pastor Dave? And I said, "Yeah, no more blindness, Michael." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they are true." And then my dear sister in Christ, Pam, she prayed over Michael. A loving, beautiful prayer. And we all together experienced God's amazing grace. My beautiful wife, Sandy, had shared in that wonderful luncheon with the deaconesses. She had shared and said, "Don't ever underestimate the power of God's word to touch their hearts and to touch your heart." Here's a prayer I like to use in my own ministry to remind me always that the more that I approach God in my own prayer life as I minister to others, I approach him with humility, with thanksgiving, with trust, the more God strengthens me to pray with others. The prayer I like to pray in these situations, as I get ready for whatever the Lord's going to allow me to do, as I like to pray, "God, since you graciously promised to be the solid rock in our relationship, I gladly promise to be the weakest link." That always helps me. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people who want to love on others and encourage them to experience God while also experiencing God themselves, said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. May we be instruments of your blessing. And as others find God by your grace, may we also find you. And we're going to praise you forever. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.